Power. 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Hello, this is Tobe. You are listening to Anon Radio, and you have tuned in just in time for the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, which I hereby call to order. Now, what's on the agenda today? Absolutely nothing. I got nothing, as usual. Although, I was vaguely considering building a slit scan camera, which I would tell you all about, and it's extraordinarily boring if you're not into weird photography. And I kind of like cameras, and I thought, well, you know, I got all this weird stuff. I could build this and that, and I could just take a camera that I have and put it in this little box, and then blah, 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 and I got a motor and then do this. And then I thought, well, you know, if you're going to, you know, go to that much effort, just build a camera and blah, blah, blah. And eventually I sort of talked myself out of it because, wow, what's having a slit scan camera allow me to do? Well, it allows me to take those terrible panoramic photographs that everybody takes with them, so I don't want to do that, and it allows me to make funky photographs that could easily just be made in Photoshop in 10 minutes rather than spending hours and hours and hours and hours making this camera and then trying to take a picture millions of times just trying to get it right. So, do I really want to do this? No, I don't think I do. And besides, I mean, if you've ever played with a photocopier, the scanning kind, or a document scanner, I mean, yeah, you can move the paper while the thing scans and it looks weird and it makes a funny image. Yeah, that's what you get out of a slit scan camera too. So, do I really need to do it? Probably not. Am I going to do it anyway? Yeah, probably not. If I'm going to build any cameras, I'm going to build something cooler than that, but I don't even know what I want to build camera-wise, if anything. I've often considered building a big box camera, but one, where are you going to get film for it? And two, do you really want to go to that much effort? Where are you going to get that film developed? Where are you going to, you know, you got to do it all yourself. So now you got to build a darkroom, you got to do all this stuff. Yeah, no. The support equipment required just sort of automatically talks you out of getting into that particular hobby. Kind of like racing, or just about anything else. I went out to lunch the other day to a pizza place that I hadn't been to in a while, and they make this really weird pizza. It's over on the south side of town, and it's kind of a pain to drive there during rush hour because you gotta go cross town traffic, and yeah. But that's irrelevant. So. And the pizza is irrelevant, too. Why am I telling you about the pizza? The pizza there is weird. It's Neapolitan style, and it's rectangular, and they use Romano cheese. And it's a very interesting thing. It's kind of a local thing, and it's kind of an acquired taste. And while I was there, I was kind of thinking, you know, this might be the oldest restaurant in town these days. I think that place opened up in 52 or 53. And all the other restaurants that I can think that opened up around that era have closed. There's one maybe other, I don't know, I'm gonna have to look into that, but again, the whole restaurant thing does not pertain to this story, only in that I wanted, while I was at the restaurant, I also realized, oh, there's a store right next to here, kind of, that I want to go to, and I won't have another chance to do it before next year, because it's almost Halloween season. And this place, even though it's like a craft store and a fabric store, and it's a weird thing, and they also sell Halloween stuff, and it's a big Omaha tradition. Plus, they set up a haunted house in their parking lot. And so, once, well, probably, yeah, this week, rolls around, you can't go there anymore because it's just jam-packed. There's no more parking, and it's a real pain in the ass to try to get in and out of there if you want to buy anything. There's even a restaurant in this place, which doesn't make any sense how this all went down, and I'm not even going to tell you the story of this store other than to say you can't go there between about the last week in September through the second week in January just because all of the holiday stuff, and it's just unbearable. But this store, along with having a magic counter and some other bizarre things, they also have this funny little games section, but it's not like games for kids. It's not games for adults per se. It's more like games for senior ladies in the sense that it's kind of bunko oriented. And if you're not familiar with bunko, just look it up. And some bridge equipment, accoutrement, and some bingo stuff. If you want magnetic bingo chips that are see-through and you need a bingo chip wand to pick up these magnetic bingo chips, this is where you buy it. You can get the little bingo cage, you can get bingo balls, you can get bingo cards, you can get dice, and you can get so many other things. And you can see why I'm probably going there, because they do occasionally have a lot of weird stuff that interests me. Well, realizing that this is my last opportunity of the year to go into this store and check the place out, I thought I would just run in. So after we ate, me and the girl, this is her favorite little pizza place, or one of her little old things, so we go there a lot. And I went over to this store. And so I ran in there really quick, and I ran into the funky little game aisle, and I made some compulsive purchases. Although I looked through everything, there wasn't anything that I needed or anything that I particularly wanted. And then I saw some shiny stuff, and I thought, and I remember seeing these there before, but this time I bought them. That's right, here they are. I bought some pegs, and they're metal pegs, and they're kind of nice. They're not very fancy. And when I say pegs, I mean the kind of pegs that you might use on a cribbage board. Although I don't play cribbage, I play other games, and I make games, and I often make games with boards with holes in them for pegs. And so I had to get these pegs, and they were, I don't remember how much they were. They were a few dollars, and there's 8 silver tone ones, and there's 4 gold silver tone ones. And so that'll be fun, and I'll make some kind of weird scoreboard to play with those. I like playing Cosmic Wimp out, and so I might make a peg scoreboard. And then I also had to buy this. Dun dun dun. Oh, I just clipped. Oh well, I'm not gonna fix it. I'm leaving it in there. But what we got here is, we got me a bridge score pad. And I had to buy this too, because it was kind of shiny. It's white, but the printing on it is gold. Ooh, and it's kind of shiny. And you open it up, and it's the dimensions on this thing are about 3.5 inches by 5 inches, 5.5 inches, not quite 6. And it's about 1/4 inch thick, or 5 millimeters. Not gonna do any metric conversions today. And you open it up, and it's this nice printed form. It says individual scores, and there's columns and rows, and there's dark bold lines, and there's double lines, and then there's we they, and these other lines, bold lines, and thin lines, and you can write numbers down in here, and there's maybe, I don't know, 50 pages or so. 50 sheets. Oh, don't I feel stupid. Here's the dimensions written right on the back. 50 sheets. 3.5 inches by 5.5 inches. 8.89 centimeters by 13.97 centimeters. Don't bother rounding up. Bridge score pad. Congress is, that's the brand. It's Congress since 1881. Congress is preferred by the most discriminating bridge players. Within this collection of contemporary designs, each ensemble offers delicate borders, an original tally, and an attractive companion score pad. Congress adds an elegant touch to every social card party. Yeah, that's me, the social card player, not the dirty guy playing craps on the basement floor. Copyright 2009, the United States Playing Card Company. Oh, that's one of my favorite companies in the world. I often go to their headquarters and outlet store in Cincinnati, Ohio. Actually, it's in, what's the name of that little suburb or subtown? Mumford? I can't remember off the top of my head. It says a subsidiary of Jarden Corporation. NYSE ticker symbol JAH, J-A-H. Really? JAH Rastafari. All rights reserved, distributed by the United States Playing Card Company, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45212, made in China. Since 1881, huh? Oh, my social card party will be so elegant because I have this score pad that has this nice shiny white cardstock cover with fake embossed gold leaf on it. Come on. Oh, I feel so elegant. I'm going to have the most elegant dice game now, especially with these elegant gold and silver colored pegs. They look like, I don't know, they just look like pegs. They're tapered and they got a little notch around the top and they have round heads. Do-do-do. Not super fancy, but I think they're cool. And I've got my caliper right here. We could measure them and you can hear the dimensions of these pegs. I know you're thrilled to hear what size they are and what angle the taper is and the radius of the dome on the top. But we're not gonna do that today because this is not the measuring game pieces day. Stay tuned for future episodes of the Dubious Goals Committee when on the agenda we will include the precise measurement of pawns and other game pieces from games around the world. You're probably wondering, what are the official dimensions of Mahjong tiles? How deep are the dimples in Chinese dominoes? What's the radius and the diameter of the ball corners on your fish prawn crab dice? I just heard something go knock, knock, crack. Okay, yeah, okay. The cat has gotten a goal. She found the pink ball. She's driven it under the door. I now have to get up and put the ball back into the play, meaning shove it back under the door so the cat can continue to play with it. What are you doing, Dankasta? Are you ready? Here you go, go kick. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I can't do anything. I'm in here trying to do my radio show and what do I get? That's right, I get my cat trying to score goals, knocking the ball underneath the door and making all kinds of noises. You're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. This is a meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. We're going to take a break so we can listen to some music, and we will be back right after this.
Especially selected for Greener, the best.
This is the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. You're listening to me, Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and this is a non-radio. The next item on today's agenda is the weather. Not really. The real item on the agenda is rainboats. But to understand rainboats, you have to understand that it's going to rain. I just checked the weather report on the Weather Channel, and there's going to be some rain here in a few hours. And so, I must prepare. How do I prepare for rain? I put out rainboats. What are rainboats? Rainboats are boats that I put out when it rains. And I put these in strategic places so that once water starts flowing, like down gutters and stuff, it picks up the boats and the boats go sailing away. And so I put them in my driveway, or I put them in this one little funky place in my sidewalk where I know that they'll eventually wash down into the street. They kind of go into the apron of my driveway and then into the street. And if I put them in places just right, if it rains lightly, they won't go anywhere. But it has to rain a certain velocity, not velocity, it has to, a certain amount. It has to rain a good amount to get these to move. But once they're in the gutter, in the street, along the curb, then they might as well be in a river, and they're eventually going to make it to the river, which means that they will probably make it to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that's probably not going to happen because there are dams and locks and all kinds of things in the way. Plus, these things aren't the most stable, these rainboats, because they're flat-bottomed. They can't have keels or anything because, well, they're just surfing more than floating, but the way I make these is very simple. You know, obviously they're disposable, okay, so I'm not putting a whole heck of a lot of effort into it. But basically, if you'd like to make a rainboat, this is how you go about doing it. Get yourself a milk carton. Now, when I say a milk carton, I don't mean a milk jug. I mean one of the old-fashioned milk cartons that are like waxed cardboard, you know, waxed paperboard. And they have that shape. They're, what are they, half gallons or quarts? Well, actually, these types of containers come in multiple sizes. So if you remember back to your school days, maybe you got milk that was in a tiny milk container. Those work. I don't drink milk myself, but I also use orange juice containers. There's some candy, like malted milk balls sometimes come in a milk-type container. Epsom salts sometimes come in this type of container. You can find this container containing many different things. Just, you know the ones I'm talking about. Just get some. And what you do is, once you're done using the product, you know, rinse it out, let it dry, and then cut it in half. And cut it in half the long way, the up and downy way, and do it the right way so that you end up with two boats. If you do it the wrong way, you'll know everything falls apart. If you do it the right way, meaning cutting across the flat sealed top and then down, then you end up with two boat hulls. You know, they're square in the back and they have pointed bows, and that's the front of the boat, and the back is the back of the boat. Duh. And that's how you get two boats from a single milk carton or a similar carton, not necessarily one for milk. Then it's just a matter of, you might have to glue some bits back together. Get a hot glue gun, glue any bits back together, and then just decorate the boat as you see fit. I often make flags out of the foil that my tea bags come in, and I put them on bamboo skewers that I have recycled, or the kind of foil that goes around like wine bottles, around the corks of wine bottles. That works good for flags. And sometimes I will glue in some army men if I'm making a really decent boat. And the two boats that I have right now got army men in them. And of course, these aren't many of my good army men. Every once in a while, you know, I'll have to buy a bag of army men in the dollar store. And these are just the worst quality models you can ever imagine. They're just injection, the most cheap injection molded crap, and the molds are so old that there's no detail, and half the time you don't even get a complete cast. These are all just complete rejects, but that's why they're disposable. You get about 100 guys for a dollar, so feel free to glue a lot of them into the boat so that they look like they're shooting their guns out the boat somehow. You know, make yourself a little tableau. Any more details you want to throw onto the boat, go right ahead. I have sometimes made sails out of the boat, which doesn't make any sense. But get a like a bleach bottle or something similar that's made out of white plastic, and you can cut sails that are nice and curvy and everything, and glue those onto bamboo skewers and then stick them on the boat and sail away. Even though, being as the boat doesn't have any rudder, if the wind actually blows on one of those sails, the boat's just going to tip over, take on water, and sink. Do I speak from experience? No, actually I don't, because I know better than to try to do that, but this will work as long as you keep the sail low, small, and if you're just floating it down your gutter during a rainstorm. What else do I do to some of these boats? So sometimes I'll take drinking straws and make cannons and just stick cannons on the edges of the boats or do all kinds of stupid stuff like that. I was going to put a maidenhead on a boat once, and I got about halfway through it and I realized, why am I spending 3 hours making something that's just going to float down the street and end up in a storm drain or something? Yeah, I don't know why I do any of this stuff. And so, once you have all the accoutrement glued to your boat, you're pretty much ready to go. If you want to test its buoyancy, go ahead and fill up a sink or your bathtub and drop the boat on the surface there, and you'll notice that it floats real nice because not a lot of mass there, and it's highly buoyant and waterproof, and even when it's raining super hard, this thing is going to float, it's going to be great, you're going to be happy. Then, all you need to do is place these near the door and watch the Weather Channel or whatever source of weather news you use and wait for it to rain. Or, if you don't like to go out into the rain as much as I do, go ahead and go put these boats somewhere out in your gutter. Then when it rains, you'll notice that they're gone because they have floated away. Sometimes I'll tie a little piece of string to these boats and then tie the other end to a little stick and then put that in my yard so that the boats are moored, but they still float in the gutter. Eventually those strings tend to come loose and you end up losing the boat, but that's sort of the whole point of rain boats. They're disposable. You're meant to lose them. They're meant to be floating away. They're meant to be floating down the street. They're meant to be found by children the next day wondering, hey, who is floating boats down the street? And then, you know, maybe some kids get some free army men out of the deal. So it's like surprise Christmas. I'm looking out the window right now and trying to see, is it raining? I thought I heard something that might have been thunder. It might have just been the cat running around upstairs chasing ghost mice or whatever she does when she's making these crazy sounds across the floor. Yesterday, she was running around up there and I was walking up the stairs at the same time, and she spooked when she saw me and she went running over to the table and slipped and pretty much fell down and ran into a cardboard box. Then she jumped up onto the table with way too much momentum, claws out, and she slid off the end of the table and then ran around and tried to act cool and like she meant to do that and continued around being crazy. You know how cats are. You've seen them. They're insane. Sometimes. Most of the time. And that's why we like them so much now, ain't it? Yes, it is. And sometimes I mistake my cat running around for the sound of thunder. But what I really should be listening for is the sound of the cat going into the thunder hut, which I didn't hear, so I'm being kind of stupid. Of course, remember, my cat is afraid of thunder, and so whenever it rains and there's a little bit of thunder, she has to go into the thunder hut, which is just right outside the door here. And when I hear that sound, I know that when she walks into the thunder hut, she kind of rubs up against the door a little bit, and it kind of goes, and I can hear her sort of turning around in the Thunder Hut. Now, okay, cat's in the Thunder Hut. It must be raining. So that's how we predict the weather here at my house. We just listen to whatever the cat's doing and go from there. Who am I, you might ask? My name's Tobe. You are listening to Anon Radio, and this has been the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. I now call this meeting to a close. And I let everyone free to go do whatever they need to do. So go do it. I'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for DJ Kumata, and I will say bye 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 bye.
You gonna be Radio Kitty?